This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Red Sox with a disappointing opening day performance against the Baltimore Orioles, but a lot of excitement about what the team could be this year. Celtics perhaps starting to turn the page. We've talked about it so much this year. We need to see more. And the Bruins look to get going. I'm Chris Ryan. Thanks so much for joining us. A lot of excitement about the Boston Red Sox in this 2021 season. Well, that excitement was quelled a bit on opening day when they lost 3-0. Nathan Eovaldi was really good, but was taken out with 89 pitches, 5 1/3 into the game. Then the bullpen gave it away. Sox sloppy in the field, didn't get anything going offensively, only two hits in the game as John Means shut down the Red Sox on opening day. They go back at it here again on Saturday against the O's with Tanner Houck taking the ball for the Red Sox. Garrett Richards will get it on Easter Sunday. Let's hear from the Red Sox a little bit about this upcoming season, and we'll start with Red Sox shortstop Xander Bogaerts. Xander, what type of team do you think you guys have here? Do you think that this is a team that's going to make improvements on last year? Is this a division winner? Is it a team that can win a World Series? What do you think that you guys are, and what is the potential for the group?
Man, I'm gonna be honest. I think we're a team that's gonna hit a lot of homers, you know. And I don't say that as often, but as I said, I've been on some great teams, but these guys that's here, they hit the ball hard and they hit the ball far, you know. Especially the new guys that we brought in. Obviously, everyone knows that of the guys that were here in the last couple of years. But I'm telling you, those guys had some good spring trainings, man. I don't even gotta mention their names because pretty much those were the best players in our spring training this year. I know spring training doesn't count, but obviously to have an impression like that, I think that goes a long way, you know. And these guys hit the ball real hard, so I'm looking forward to just cheering them on as the ball goes out.
Everybody always talks about how elite players take the pressure off of the quote-unquote role players on a team. When a team has this type of depth, what does it do for you psychologically as an elite player, does it take a little bit less to take a little pressure off of you? How do you evaluate that?
I think I'm surrounded with a lot of good players also. So that kind of takes the pressure off of me also, you know. I don't have to do it all by myself. I mean, I have guys behind me and guys in front of me that can get the job done. And that's been successful for a while in the big leagues now, you know? So this is a hard game, man. A lot of us, and pretty much all of us, are going to go through our ups and downs, and especially some downs in this baseball game. It's just a matter of getting out of them quickly and let's say like you're 0-for-20, you know, just be like, oh, you know, everything's going to be all right, you know, just keep swinging. It's not going to be all right if you just keep doing the same thing that you've been doing, you know. Go in the cage, go get your work done, and try to improve. Don't be like, hey, everything's going to be all right. I don't really think that way, you know. Whenever something's going wrong, just try to figure out what it is and hammer it right away, you know, and just not sit back and relax and be like, oh, everything's going to be all right, you know.
Alex just said that you're the most consistent person in this group and you're looking forward to you leading the group. How do you feel that your role has evolved, and do you feel that to some extent this is, you know, your team at this point?
It has changed, you know, especially from the first year that I came in here up to this point right now. It's been much different now. You know, the responsibilities are much bigger, but what comes so easy to me is that I get to be the same person and doesn't have to act in a different type of way to be someone that I'm not, you know. So that makes it much easier on me, and just being the type of person that I am and people just understanding who I am as a person, who I am as a player, and what I'm all about and how much I care about winning. So it's very easy for me to just be myself and be able to do that.
Your outwards persona has always been very consistent. In terms of your on-field performance, at what point do you feel that you became kind of this consistent player in all aspects of the game. And what did it take for you to get to that point where that kind of met where your personality was at with the consistency?
That's a good question. I don't even know. But I mean, in the beginning, I started off good, and I had a rough year at 2014. You know, a lot of ups and downs, went through a lot, learned a lot. But 2015 is when I kind of brought a good approach. You know, I was hitting the ball the other way a lot, and I kind of learned of picking my spots, when to attack and not. But I think definitely since 2018, you know, it's been much different. You know, my approach wise, it's kind of been back to the minor leagues. You know, just driving the ball to all parts of the field with power, the extra base hits, and not specifically saying homers, but just driving the ball instead of hitting the ball the other way. You know, I've had success hitting singles to right, and I've had success driving the ball. It's just a matter of being able, if I can do both of those and pick my situations when I want to do, that's pretty huge in my advantage.
Also talked with Christian Vasquez.
Christian, just on the team going into opening day, obviously there have been some challenges here down the stretch for you personally and Eddie and the COVID situation with Barnes as well. But what's your general feeling about this group going into opening day?
We have a great group. I think we have a balanced lineup. We got a great arm in the bullpens, very arm in the starting rotation. I think we have more depth overall in the team. We can run, we can do damage. We can, you know, we're quick. So I think we're in good place to start the season.
Can you compare it at all to previous years in terms of how you felt? I mean, do you feel better this year than obviously 20, but other years prior to that? Do you get, what type of a sense do you get about this team as compared to some of the better teams you've been on before?
Yeah, I felt in the clubhouse that we're talking the right things together, like 2018. I'm not saying we have the same team, but we're talking the same language together, like baseball, how we can attack everybody. So we're like good chemistry, like a family, you know, like together we're knowing each other. So it's I like the thing I'm hurting around. Is a way very different than last year and 19 too. So we're in good place.
More with Alex Cora coming up in just a little bit. Celtics last night, a nice win. They had lost two straight prior to their victory over the Houston Rockets, 118-102. Jason Tatum, 26 points. Jaylen Brown, 22 points. You expect that from those guys. The most interesting performances were that of Rob Williams and Evan Fournier. Fournier had a ton of difficulty shooting the basketball in his first couple performances for the Boston Celtics, including the game on Monday where he was 0 for 10 in his debut against the Pelicans. Celtics lost on Wednesday against the Mavericks as well. Fournier shot it really well, particularly in the fourth quarter. He was 7-11 from three overall. He had 23 points. Rob Williams, tremendous for the Boston Celtics. He was just two assists and one rebound shy of a triple-double. He finished with 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists for Boston in those two blocks as well. I thought big key for the Celtics in this game is the way they moved the basketball, the pace they played with. They tried to get out on the break. And I thought that this is something we need to see moving forward from Boston on the offensive side of things. Start putting pressure on the opposition by playing with pace, tenacity, and focus. Talked with Brad Stevens about that because I thought Marcus Smart really set the tone. He had 10 assists overall.
Hey, Brad, just your thoughts on how the ball moved tonight, 35 assists. And it seemed like Marcus really set the tone in playing with pace. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, we moved the ball well. I thought Marcus did a great job defensively of setting a tone for our team. And then I thought he did do a good job of moving that ball. But I thought everybody did. I thought that even when we, you know, ended up getting in even a simple isolation, we went quick. We went with authority. We didn't settle. And I thought that was good. But the ball did move. We played through our bigs. Rob was great. And so a lot of encouraging things. And obviously, it was really good to see Evan make all those shots.
Here is Rob Williams.
Man, just feeling great, honestly. keep saying comfortability, but obviously getting way more comfortable with it, the more minutes I play. And I feel like if it stays that way, I can only get better.
Hey, can you talk just a little bit about the comfort you're feeling on the offensive side of things, you know, whether it's developing a little bit more in terms of your shot, whether it's distributing the basketball, where is the areas that you've seen growth, and what did tonight's performance mean getting that close to a triple-double?
I just say I'm learning my spots, you know, learning where I'm going to score it, seals, you know, throwback ceiling, tip-ins, waiting around for the rebound. Feel like I had to take time to realize where I'm going to get the points at.
More from Williams coming up in the next segment. Evan Fournier finally had a good game for the Celtics as his third game in, clearly and emphatically his best.
Hey, Evan, what did tonight's performance mean to you in context, you know, of the first couple games? And, you know, what was that like when each player obviously wants to have a strong showing in their first couple contests with their new team? How important was tonight and getting back to who you are?
Well, you know, I always try to stay in the moment. Never too high, never too low. This has been my motto for years now. And I mean, you know, I've played 9 years in this league now. I know who I am and I know what I'm capable of doing. So obviously, you know, that first game against NOLA was not the way I wanted to start with the Celtics, but it's not going to define who I am with this team. I said it many times, I'm going to try to impact winning as much as I can. And I'm really happy about the win tonight, you know, period. So moving forward, I'm going to try to play as hard as I can and help the guys.
Talked with Jason Tatum about the performance of Evan Fournier.
Hey, Jason, your thoughts on how the ball moved tonight and the type of pace you guys played with? Is that what you're looking for, A? And B, seeing Fournier shoot the basketball like that, what type of a weapon is he, and how do you go about utilizing him to his highest potential?
Yeah, I mean, nobody was worried. Everybody knows the type of player Evan is and what he brings. We all have off nights, and it was just good to see him get his rhythm back. You know, we know he's going to be able to make plays and get his shots for us from here on out.
Now to the Bruins, who are hanging on to the fourth and final playoff spot in their division. Bruins have not played impressive hockey on a consistent basis and had one of the worst performances of the year on Thursday night against a Penguins team that's ahead of them in the standings, and frankly, they needed to beat. The Bruins lost 4-1. They find themselves right now just 3 points ahead of the Philadelphia Flyers, who have allowed the most goals in the National Hockey League by any team other than the Ottawa Senators, who are flat out horrific. And the Flyers are only 3 points behind the Bruins for the final playoff spot. They have played two more games than Boston. Bruce Cassidy not pleased with the performance on Thursday as the Bees take on the Pittsburgh Penguins once again today, Saturday at 1 p.m. Here's Bruce Cassidy.
Hey, Bruce, just your frustration that it is, you know, the top guys at times that are not making the plays for you. Obviously, Pasta along the wall there with that decision with the puck. It looked like you guys were making, you know, a comeback there. What's the frustration that it's not just the younger guys making mistakes and being careless at times? It's the veteran players.
I'm not frustrated with those guys. I'm disappointed that they don't recognize, you know, the value of the puck and where we are in the game, and they haven't stepped up a little more. I get frustrated with the younger guys that make the same mistakes or can't get their shots through from the point. It's frustrating when teams collapse against you and you get it low to high and you look like you got some action and you get a shot blocked and back they come and you're in the penalty box and, you know, you lose momentum. That's the frustration. And that's just a learning curve for some of them. And some of them will learn it and be better off for it. And some of them won't, and they won't be here. So that's not unique to our team. Every young guy that comes into this league has to figure it out, find a way. We're here to help them. And eventually you make a decision with them. So there's no frustration with the older guys. They know what's at stake. They've been to Stanley Cup finals, so they know the way the game's played. They just need to respect it and play that way. My job is to get them to that message through and get them to understand. Their job is to understand that they are leaders of this hockey club. And they should know better.
Also talked with Brad Marchand.
Hey, Brad, just your upshot on this tonight. And Bruce, you talked about not just the veteran players, but some of the younger players, decisions with the puck and being outplayed. Your thoughts on this type of performance against a team that obviously you guys want to have success against?
Yeah, they're a good team. You know, they compete hard. They've won. They know what it takes. You know, they still have a majority of their core in there. So, you know, we have to bring our best game when we want to compete with them. No, so we need a better effort on Saturday.
Do you feel like that you're lacking some of the physical engagement from your teammates at this point?
I think we can all be a little more physical at times. You know, we seem to do it in spurts. It's something that we need to do from the drop of the puck all game long. We just seem to be a better team when we're more physical. We create more turnovers, get more opportunities, keep more pucks alive. You know, so it is something that we need to continue to improve on in our game.
More from the Bruins, Trent Frederick, as well as Patrice Bergeron, still to come. We talk with Kemba Walker as well, and hear from Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox. This is the Press Pass. Red Sox have had some challenges down the stretch in spring training. I am Chris Ryan. This is the Press Pass. Eduardo Rodriguez has had issues in regards to a dead arm. Still some things to be sorted out there before he gets on the mound and pitches in a major league game. And, of course, the COVID scare with Matt Barnes that led to other individuals being involved in contact tracing, including tomorrow's starter Garrett Richards, who we'll hear from in a second. So let's get to Alex Cora on the challenges down the stretch at spring training heading into the big league season, which began on Friday.
Alex, you had obviously a lot of positive momentum coming through spring training. Do you feel that this has put a damper on that to some extent, or is this basically something you thought you might have to deal with through the course of the year? Is there still that sense of positivity?
We're in a good place. Obviously disappointed that, it happened towards the end. You guys heard me, I think it was 2 weeks ago or after the last off day, like the last 2 weeks, 12 days, they're going to be very important, because if something like this happened, then you miss them for the first part of the season. But like I said, it's nobody's fault. And the organization has done an amazing job through a camp. The players have done an amazing job. It's one of those that it just happened. But I'm positive. I'm still positive.
Garrett Richards was held out of major league activities for a period of time, but was able to get out on the mound at Fenway Park prior to opening day and get a feel for what it's going to be like to pitch in the cold on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, any time of the year involved, I think, with the COVID virus, it's a serious thing. So, yeah, a little caught off guard. I think everybody was, but it wasn't anything that we couldn't handle. I still found a way to activate my arm at the house and tried to stay sharp through those couple of days where we were away from the team. But thank God everything ended up being false and we were able to move on.
When you got the news that it wasn't that all of you guys had been released from the contact tracing protocols, like, what was that day like?
I mean, it was great, to be able to come back to the field and be with the team and be able to go through the day as usual. It was a little bit weird not seeing guys for a couple of days after you've seen them every day for, 5 weeks. But, like I said, it didn't really affect us too much. We went through the precautions the proper way and were able to kind of eliminate it quickly. So, everything is back to normal.
What are the keys for you in managing the emotions of tomorrow? Obviously, first start for any guy is a big deal, but first start in a new uniform is an even bigger deal. What are the keys for you in managing the emotions of that circumstance?
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely, I've thought about it for the last couple of days, but I keep going back to just treating it like a normal baseball game. We got 162 of these to play, 161 now, but it's a long season and nobody is defined by one start. So, I'm just going to go out and do do the things that I've done well at the end of spring training and some of the momentum that I've built going into this start with my mechanics and my mindset. So I'm just going to go out there and pitch my game. And, you know, once the ball leaves your hand, there's nothing you can do about it. So I'm just going to go out and compete and try and win a ball game.
What's the bond been like amongst the starters so far? Like, what have the relationships been like that you guys have built? Because obviously that's really important for each of you to have somebody to talk to about things. What's been that aspect like for you?
No, it's been good. Just kind of fell right into a groove with everybody. It's been pretty easy. This locker room's pretty easy going. I know, you know, a few guys from playing with them in the past, so that made it a little bit easier coming into the season, but I wouldn't even say just the starting rotation. I would say, you know, everybody talks to everybody. And, you know, we gel really well together so far, and it's kind of exciting to watch, you know, the progression that we've made throughout spring training and looking forward to, you know, what the season has. You know, we only come closer and closer as the season goes on. And once we gain some momentum, man, this is a good team, definitely.
Also talked with Alex about Tanner Houck, the rookie sensation who gets the ball today, but didn't have a great spring training, and he was pressing, trying to make the rotation. He'll get a start as a result of Eduardo Rodriguez's dead arm situation, but I asked Alex in a bit here whether that start here on Saturday is likely to be it.
And he relaxed because he knew that he was pitching on Saturday. And we can keep talking about pitching, pitchability or stuff or splitter or slider or sinker and fastball. I think at the end of the day, it's what you do to harness your emotions to go out there and compete. And he's still developing. He's still learning. And, you know, it was a good learning experience for him in spring training, how to control his windup, his emotions, not trying to impress people, which I think he tried to do, you know, with velocity. So I don't know. I don't want to get into specifics, but I like the pitcher. I like the person, and we're very excited that he's going to pitch for us tomorrow.
Alex, is this definitely a one and done for him, or is there the potential for him to pitch himself into the rotation? There was the, you know, six man discussion for a little bit, but are you set on you guys? Okay,
we're not going with the six man rotation. You know, he's pitching tomorrow, and then obviously the circumstances will dictate what happens with him in the future. But you know, just give him the ball tomorrow, go 5-6, do the things that he did in the last one, and we'll be happy with that.
Alex was also asked about the All-Star game, which has been moved out of Atlanta because of Georgia's new voting restrictions, which have been pushed forward by the Republican governor and secretary of state.
I mean, looking from afar, you know, it was eye-opening. You know, not only our league, all the leagues, right? And this is where we're at, you know, and it's something that, you know, our kids or our teenagers, you know, they're more informed now, right? It's hard to say it, right? Because we should have been proactive, you know, earlier, right? Before last year, but it is what it is. The positive is we're taking a stand. We're more informed. You know, the players are involved. And like I said, it's not only our league. One of the things that I like, you know, or I applaud the league in this one, they were proactive, not reactive. You know what I mean? And, you know, we didn't wait for, you know, for every league to talk about this and make a decision. You know, I like the fact that the communication factor was a must in this situation. And then, you know, I know there's some people that they're going to agree with, others they're not going to agree with, but the fact that we were together to make a decision, it gives me, you know, hope that, you know, our league is where it should be, and we're going to keep making strides to keep getting better.
How significant is it, do you think, that Major League Baseball was proactive? And usually it's kind of the NBA that kind of sets the tone on the social justice issues. How important do you think, from a league perspective, is your – now seen as being proactive?
I think it's loud and clear that perception, obviously, in certain areas, the perception is like the league is divided, right? You know, we know that, right? And that's what people think. But it seems like important matters outside the negotiating table, we're together. And that's huge, you know? And I saw it throughout the year last year, talking to people and just watching from afar. And, you know, Pete yesterday surprised me because I was so locked in the game, I didn't even know. And I heard the rumblings throughout the week, you know, the players and obviously, the commissioner and MLB, and the fact that, you know, we decided, I think it's we as an industry to do this. It tells you a lot where we're at right now.
To the Celtics now, and the trade of Daniel Theis has meant the starting lineup for Rob Williams, who has gotten more minutes and as a result has been more productive for the Boston Celtics. Here is Brad Stevens on that.
Hey, Brad, you touched on it a little bit earlier. You know, your concerns with Theis leaving and how good of a team defender he was. How did you see Rob stepping into that role with the top unit? And does that change with him playing with that group as compared to others, the team concept, what it's relied upon to do?
Yeah, I mean, generally that group should be some of our better defenders, and so obviously when you're playing with those guys, in theory, it should be, everybody should look a little bit better. But I thought he did a really good job last night. I thought he protected us. I thought he was active. I thought when he was isolated on Giannis, he did a great job. And then, you know, the deal is now you got to do it again tonight. And then you got to do it again Monday. And then you got to do it again Wednesday. And then you got to do it again Friday. So that's what we're all trying to strive towards. But I thought Rob did a really nice job last night.
Stephen's talking after the Bucks game, which the Celtics had a big win against Milwaukee last Friday night. I also talked with Rob Williams.
Hey, Rob, hope all is well with you. Before the season, you kind of called your shot and said this was going to be a breakout year for you. Do you feel like it's met the expectations of what you thought it was going to be, A, and B, what are some of the areas that you continue to work on both sides of the ball to take that next level step?
I feel like I still got a pretty big jump ahead of me just as far as pushing myself to be the best that I can be. And for me, mostly it's just about slowing down. On the offense and the defensive end, slowing down, you know, recognizing what's in front of me.
You mentioned that you want to slow the game down from the mental perspective. What is the challenge in that you have to play the game fast and you have to play the game with aggression and intensity in order to be effective, but you also want to slow that down? How do you manage those two things?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of not wanting to mess up so much. You know, that's kind of what's in my head, just not wanting to mess up. And like I said, just relaxation on the court, obviously. That's what I feel like is going to come.
Celtics winners over the Rockets on Friday night, but still in their last eight games, they are 4-4. They lost three straight prior to that. They have been playing better, and they seem to be on a better path, but is that trajectory to being an average team as opposed to a below-average team, or can they make that next step? I talked with Kemba Walker about that, and also the Brooklyn Nets continue to load up as they brought in LaMarcus Aldridge after he was bought out by the San Antonio Spurs.
Hey, Kemba, two things, if I can. One, talked obviously a lot this year about this team finding themselves and, you know, turning points, etc. Do you think that this has finally happened, maybe even starting back with the Magic game where you guys started to play collectively, A, and B, your takeaway on what's been going on with the Nets and them adding LaMarcus Aldridge and the type of talent they put together?
What was that? What was the last part? I'm sorry.
The Nets and what they've been able to do and putting the talent together with LaMarcus Aldridge joining them.
Yeah, I think we have found ourselves a little bit and, you know what we have to do in order to win games on a daily basis. We've been playing extremely hard. We've been moving the basketball pretty well. Just trying our best to be in the string as much as possible defensively. As far as the Nets, I mean, they were already really good. And obviously adding LaMarcus Aldridge is huge. Adam Blake was huge. They already had three unbelievable players. so, yeah, you know, I don't really pay much attention to them because, you know, I'm just kind of focused on my team and, you know, how we're going to, you know, progress through the rest of the season. So, you know, they are good and, you know, look forward to, you know, battling against those guys.
Now to the Boston Bruins, where they're still struggling to put forward consistent performances and play their best hockey. There was a game on Sunday against the New Jersey Devils, which was kind of a case in point, where they were snake bit in their game at the TD Garden. They had two goals, which could have been goals, called back, and a lot of frustration about that. Then they fell behind 4-2 to the Devils once again on Tuesday, but came back to win in a shootout in that game, had their one of the worst performances of the year in losing to the Pittsburgh Penguins on Thursday, 4-1. Let's focus on that game against the Devils. It was an interesting one. Here is Bruce Cassidy.
You talked a little bit about the interference call. Obviously, the rules have changed on that, but is that frustrating that gets taken away the way it did?
Yeah, because I think another night they'd count it. And I just think that's the way it is. It's hit or miss on those sometimes. We've been on the wrong side of them. So you hope they even out. I couldn't tell you if they even out. People say that, but I don't really know if I believe that. But time will tell over the course of the year. And again, the other one that's just trickling in, maybe just a bounce of the puck sometimes. And the way we are right now in terms of our offense, those matter. You know, other times, other years, maybe when you're completely healthy, things are running. Just play through those and you can outscore some of those calls. But we're not in that position right now, clearly. Every goal matters to us, so it's tough when those happen. But to getting to your, I guess, your point about the effort in the third period, another solid effort. We clearly outplayed a team. Got the goals the other night against Buffalo. Similar tonight, we got to the front of the net. You know, really tried to generate second and third chances against this guy because he was, you know, whatever he saw, he seemed to stop. Well, did stop, but didn't work out.
Also talked with Bruins captain Patrice Bergeron.
Hey, Bergie, obviously you guys are having to work really hard to score goals right now. Just the frustration of not seeing those two get counted in the third and your thoughts on them not getting counted the calls.
Yeah, I mean, the second one from the Jumbotron, it looks like it didn't fully pass the line. So it is what it is. And then it's unfortunate, obviously. But on the first one, I'll be honest, I didn't see the replay. So I'm not sure exactly what happened. Is, you know, there's probably six bodies in front of the goalie and trying to jam the puck in and try to find a way. So I thought the puck was loose. I didn't see what happened. So, you know, it is what it is. They look at it. There's, I'm sure, 20 angles to base it on. And make a decision. So you have to trust them that they made the right decision and move on.
And just the frustration in that you did just about everything possible to put the puck in the net there in the third and weren't able to do it.
Yeah, I think we have to build from that. I mean, there was a lot of really good looks in the third. It's more what and the way that we want to generate and bring it to the net and get some second and third chances. And I thought we did that. And we have to find a way, you know, ultimately that's what it comes down to.
Here's Nick Ritchie, who's come on of late and played some really good hockey. He's been the left wing on Krejci's line.
Hey, Nick, just the frustration collectively after this one where you did just about everything you could in the third to get the puck in the net and actually obviously looked like you did a couple times. What are your thoughts and the group's thoughts after this one?
Yeah, obviously couldn't get one to go at the end, a couple real close calls and played a really good third period and had them on their heels and just missed around the net. Puck was bounced a little bit, but their goalie, you got to give it to him. He played well and, you know, fought through some stuff and we just didn't capitalize.
Have you felt the last couple games in terms of your impact? It seems like you've been around the play, creating chances. Is this at the level that you want to be at?
Yeah, exactly. I want to be going to the net and creating chances for myself and the other guys that I'm playing with. And, you know, there's been some good looks our team has the last, you know, couple games. And like I said, they're just not going in, but I think, you know, if we keep doing that, eventually the teams will break and they will start going in.
Trent Frederick was up on the top line for a bit as Brad Marchand was out with the COVID false positive test for a couple of games, and Trent Frederick played there. Now he's been moved down to the fourth line where he is centering there, but he was asked not about that, but about his COVID environment last summer and what he did to keep busy, and it was building cabinets.
Did a lot of wood shop work and stuff in my garage, so that's about it.
What'd you do with the cabinets?
We just built like storage cabinets, kind of, and then kind of cleaned out the crud, all the old bikes and stuff, and just made it look a little bit more presentable.
Last question, Chris Ryan.
Hey Trent, I have about 5 or 6 questions about cabinetry, but I'll stick to hockey. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about how you go about impacting the game, and what is the way that you feel that you can consistently impact the game here at the NHL level?
Just helping the team win, I think, just bringing that energy, playing physical, being hard to play against is when I'm playing the best and I'm helping the team the most. So I try to do those, pretty much every game. And, the other stuff is just the skills and stuff, and that's just trying to bring that every night as well. So,
what have been the biggest lessons that you've learned here so far, and who have you leaned on to figure out how to kind of center your game, but also, incorporate different things that make you – different than a Berge or some of the other leaders on the team? Like, how do you go about trying to be yourself, but also get the information that you need from those guys?
There's a lot of guys. Probably everyone would answer kind of who you play with is what you learn a lot from, because you're always talking, trying to figure out how they think so it can help your line or help the team kind of win. So when I was playing with Charlie, we talked a lot about hockey and plays. And, did you see that in this? Studs, I know he's not older, but we talk a lot of hockey, just watching other people. So just learning the game. Everyone here loves hockey and watching a ton of hockey. So when you do that, I think the better you become.
Thanks, Trent.
I don't know if that answered your question.
Thanks, Trent. Thanks. Yeah. Bruins came from behind to beat the Sabres last Saturday 3-2, and two things were really interesting to me in that game. Number one, it was the start of seeing something really come together with Krejci, Smith on his right, and also Nick Ritchie on his left. The second was Butch Cassidy trying to figure out whether or not to have Charlie McAvoy and Matt Grzelcyk play together. He's got away with from that since this game. But it's a dynamic that is really intriguing and was one of the reasons they were able to win this game against the Sabres 3-2. So I talked with Cassidy about why you put them together, what he likes about that the pairing, where you have two really offensive-minded defensemen, two good puck movers playing together, and pretty much your two best defensemen playing together as well.
Your thoughts on the pairing of McAvoy and Grizz, what you've liked from them in general, and also what they gave you today in order to help out the forwards 5-on-5?
Well, they're real clean. Two schools of thought is, you have offensive guys, play them together. Sometimes you lose something on the other pairs, but, and we've discussed that internally. That's why we started them apart. We've just thought, since we've had the rash of injuries that, we'll have the one strong pair and split them up periodically. See if we can get some easy transition out of our end against good offensive lines that, can get frustrated. So, Ozone blue line, they feed off each other well, and we need it. And I think in today's game, every team, every organization will tell you that you need puck moving guys to help create offense. And if you look at, obviously the first goal, guy, walks the blue line, lateral movement, stuff we're trying to get all our younger guys to do better and find a shooting lane. That's what happened. Obviously, you need the net presence. And then Charlie McAvoy, just kind of making plays with his feet, going down the wall. So it's both ways offensively. It's down the wall and it's across the blue line. And then obviously your skill has to take over. So that's what I like about them. They give the forward some pucks in good spots. Try to match them up as much as possible with a good offensive line and see where it takes us, and it's usually to good places.
Here's Charlie McAvoy, who circled around the net a couple times for the game-tying goal, and him on the dynamic with him and Grizz as well.
Hey, Charlie, just take me through the game-tying goal, what you were thinking on that play, trying to find a seam to get the puck towards the net.
I was coming off the bench, so I was kind of skating into the play. I had some speed, and he's calling for it from Zeebo. He threw it over to me, and then I was just trying to use my momentum to just get skating and know that they're a man-on-man team, so just trying to kind of get a step. And I was actually looking for Smitty through a seam there, and then, you know, we were fortunate enough to get a bounce. But when guys are going to the net all game and working hard to get to those dirty areas, it's nice to see them get rewarded.
Both you and Grizz had huge impacts in this game, and you really have since you've been paired together. But what is that dynamic like for you in that you, in the past, obviously with Z and knew he was back there? Low Z is obviously more of a defensive-minded defenseman, and now you're both you guys looking for opportunities to get into the offensive zone and make your impact. But how is that dynamic different for you, and why do you think you guys are working well together?
I think – I guess one of the biggest things is just, we both are offensive minded guys, right? So we're trying to make quick plays. We're trying to, you know, have transition plays where we can go and play offense. And the more time we spend in the O zone, the less time we spend in our D zone, having to defend so that's kind of our mindset, is try and be crisp, try and be, you know, quick with the puck and transition, get up there and play the fun part of the game, which is the offensive side. But we have a lot of trust and we have great chemistry, on and off the ice. So it's fun. And he's playing great right now, and he makes my life easy. And you know, his movement today and his goal was huge for us.
And here's Craig Smith on the Bruins' second line right now with Krejci himself and Richie.
Hey, Craig, on the game winner, obviously a good rush from you guys, and pretty much everything went right on that play. Nick Richie doing his thing, Krejci doing his, and then you get the chance to bury it. What did you see, and how did you feel with those guys overall tonight in terms of the chances you guys created?
I just thought we were opportunistic. I thought we were, you know, some of the focus was put on getting to the front of the net and being a little bit more hungry around the net. You can see the Rich bang one in there in the third, and then those guys just getting, creating a little havoc in front, and it just was, you know, a lucky puck bouncing out.
And can you talk a little about the McAvoy-Grizz pairing and what it's like to play with them when you get the opportunity?
Yeah, you know, they're going to jump up. I think they handle pucks really well at the blue line, and they're able to, create some shot lanes just from their movement up top. So, when we're out with them, it's you're always going to have a fourth guy jumping, and they both are great skaters and can move inside the zone. I think it's dangerous for a D when they jump down and can stay low in the offensive zone. It creates a lot of problems, and I thought we had some good looks off it.
This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan.